Welcome to Mount Olive First Pentecostal Holiness Church. Thank you for connecting with us. In just a moment, Pastor Jeff will be sharing an uplifting and encouraging message that we pray will inspire you in your walk with God. Our desire at MOF PHC is for you and your family to find hope in Jesus Christ so that He will transform your life. Thanks again for connecting with us. Please contact us if we can help you discover God's purpose for your life. Enjoy the message.
I want to just continue here and get right into God's Word. And do you remember just a couple of weeks ago, I said something to you before the service. I reminded you all of how much I love you. And I love you too. I love this church. I love this church with all of my heart. I love each and every one of you. And I try to remind you that when I say I love you, don't think anything's coming behind it. Like it would be if my boys were telling me they love me. If you got $20 for gas. But I do love you, but I want you to just show grace and mercy some this morning in this message. Something God's put on my heart. And my prayer is always that I would be able to share it in love and speak in love. So God help me. But I wanna pick up where I've been over the last couple of weeks with those six words: as we see the day approaching, as we see the day approaching. Those are six words that I felt that were prompted into my heart, to my spirit by the Lord just a few weeks ago, that God would have me to share a few messages in regards to as we see the day approaching and things that He expects us to do as God's people as we see the day approaching, that day referring to the return of Jesus Christ. We talked about that last Sunday. Now, those six words, as we see the day approaching, are found in what book of the Bible? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What chapter? What verse? Praise the Lord. In Hebrews 10:25, this is what the writer was encouraging God's people in a time of persecution. And he tells them, let us not give up meeting together, which he's talking about coming to church. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as we see the day approaching. And I want to just kind of walk back just a few minutes, and because some people may not have been here, I want to just remind you that as we see the day approaching, that day when Jesus will return, we should come to church faithfully because we need each other. And I was thinking this morning, I thank God for church people that are faithful to this church Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday. I thank you all for being faithful to meet together. Thank you for being here today. You're showing faithfulness. You're encouraging one another as we've been singing, as we've been praying. Thank you for being faithful to the Lord. In fact, I was thinking this morning, my wife and I arrived here at this church in 2002, and I think of the people that were here, I don't want to say years and years, but they were here before we were, and they're still coming to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And I say, to God be the glory for a church that is faithful to meet together. And some have had their worlds rocked. Some have been through storms and battles, but they still come in praising the Lord. They still are faithful to the church, meeting together, and I give God praise for that. And we should come to church, and when we come to church, we should be eager to encourage one another. If you are breathing this morning, you need encouragement. We all need encouragement, and we should come to church, and we should be eager to encourage one another, because we discovered that when you give somebody encouragement in the church, it helps them grow in the Lord and glow for the Lord. And how many of you want to grow in the Lord and glow for the Lord? And we need encouragement. That's like putting gas in the gas tank. That gives us encouragement to grow and to glow. So as we see the day approaching, we need to stay encouraged more than ever. And as we see the day approaching, we learned last Sunday that we need to get ready and stay ready. And I praise the Lord. We had several that made decisions to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior last week. To God be the glory. They got ready and they need to stay ready. Amen. Because the Lord is going to come back, and he's going to come back. We learned that day is going to happen, and the hour and the day is unknown. So we need to get ready and we need to stay ready, because it could happen at any time. And today, as we look at these six words, as we see the day approaching, we need to stay bold for Christ. We need to stay bold for Christ. Now, I know you're probably in Hebrews, but I want you to just to turn over to Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. Let me give you a little bit of context here. This is the Apostle Paul. He's writing a letter to the believers, the followers of Christ. He's actually in prison. Paul is in prison while he is writing this letter. He's in prison for his faith. He's done nothing wrong. They've got him in prison because of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been persecuted, and they've got him in prison, and he's writing this letter, and he gets to a place in the letter here in the very first chapter, and he talks about the kind of life that he wants to live. I'm in prison, and let me tell you the kind of life that I want to live. And he says in verse 20, "For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past." He was bold in the past, but evidently he knew he couldn't live on the boldness of the past. He needed fresh boldness every day. And so he says, I want to continue. That's ongoing. Every day, I want to be bold for Christ as I've been in the past. And the reason why I want to be bold, he says here, "And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or whether I die." I want to be bold for Christ. And the reason I want to be bold for Christ is because I want to honor him with my life, whether I'm living or whether I'm dead. And that was Paul's desire. That was Paul's prayer. And we need, listen to me, church, please bear with me just for these next few minutes. We need to continue to be bold for Christ in the day and the time that we're living in right now. As we see that day, the day approaching, the church needs to be bold, and the church needs to have a backbone for Jesus Christ. Boldness means that you are standing with not your confidence, but with confidence in Christ. Boldness is standing with confidence in Christ. Your courage is in Christ. It means standing fearless in Christ. We need to be bold. And when you read through the Bible, you will notice that many times the great men and women of God that he used in such a mighty way, they had a boldness for the Lord. You think about Peter in the book of Acts when he stood before an angry mob and he preached Jesus. He preached Jesus to some protesters and that were angry, and he's preaching to an angry mob that does not like that Jesus' name being used. They don't like that gospel that's being declared, and he preaches Jesus crucified and Jesus resurrected, and 3,000 people were saved on that day. He was bold. Then Peter and John, they boldly speak Jesus over the lame man. As they're on their way to church for a prayer service, there's a lame man, and they say, "Silver or gold I don't have, but what I give you in the name of Jesus, walk." And they do God uses them to do a miracle. They boldly declare Jesus over that man. You think about Paul's life when you read through the scriptures, and he boldly shared his testimony before all kinds of people, governors and kings, and he was never ashamed of the gospel. He was bold. And you look at the Old Testament prophets that when Israel would turn their back on the Lord, they had a boldness to declare what God was saying. Thus saith the Lord. They would declare it with boldness. You think about the early church in the book of Acts, and think about the culture they lived in. If you read back through Acts and study some of the history there, the culture they lived in, that culture was bold for wickedness and evil. A culture that boldly promoted and paraded their sins. They lived in a culture, the church was living in a culture at that time that boldly resisted and rejected Jesus Christ as the Messiah. They did so much, they resisted him, they rejected him so much that they went to yell, "Crucify him," and they crucified him on a cross. They lived in a culture that boldly promoted not Jesus, but their man-made religious traditions, but they denied the power of God. And to me, when I read this, when I study this, we see the same thing happening today in our nation and in our culture, in the world. Wickedness and evil are being boldly promoted and paraded. A society that we live in now boldly boasting in their sin and perversion. There's no hiding it now. I mean, they're bold about it. They're open about it. They don't care what you think. There is a boldness to the perversion and the sin today that's being boasted about in our land. A culture boldly turning away from Christ and more hatred coming toward Christians that will continue to happen. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. And here's what's sad, and I'm not saying that to direct it to anybody. I'm saying it really to direct it to me personally, because I believe God was speaking to me, that as we see the day approaching, that it almost appears like the unrighteous are bolder than the righteous. I mean, that's what it appears. It appears like the unrighteous are bolder than the righteous. So the question is, what should the church do when the enemy and evil and darkness appear to be more bold, prevailing over our nation and our culture? What do we do as a church? Do we run? Do we hide? Do we cower? Do we cave? Do we compromise? Do we conform? There's a lot of churches already doing that. The answer is no. The answer is no. God expects his people to be bold for Christ like never before. And as we see the day approaching, listen, this is not time for the church to shrink back in fear. No, this is time for the church, God's people, to get some boldness and stay bold for Christ no matter what. In fact, the Bible says in Proverbs 28:1 that the righteous are to be bold as a lion. We are to be people that have boldness to our life. It's time for us to be bold as a lion, bold. Listen, I'm talking about bold in our faith. Quit talking about how the devil's doing this and the devil's doing that and the devil did this. I'm believing God to turn this thing around. I'm going to have a bold faith. I know it don't look good, but I'm going to believe God. He's going to intervene. He's going to work it out. I'm going to have a bold faith. A bold faith because my God is able. Amen. It's time for the church to have a bold obedience. God's speaking to you about something. You need to walk in obedience to the Lord. You remember when they came, Jesus, blessed is the woman that nursed you and gave birth to you. And Jesus said, no, the one that's blessed is hears the word and does the word. Obedience. Bold obedience. God, give us bold love. I want to have bold love for all people. A bold in holiness. To walk in holiness. Walk in purity. You're a Christian. Your life has been changed. You're not the same person you used to be. Now you walk in purity. Now you walk in holiness. You're not doing the things that you used to do. You're not going after the appetites of the flesh. You're not conforming to the things of the world. Now you're walking in holiness because you're in love with Jesus Christ. Bold holiness. Bold in witnessing. bold in sharing the gospel, bold standing on God's word, bold prayers. You and me, church, we need to be bold as lions. Church, as we see the day approaching, we are not called to shrink back in fear and allow the works of darkness to prevail over the people of this nation. Jesus says, I give you power and authority. We've been given power and authority, and we don't have to allow the evil, the perversion, the wickedness to prevail over the people of this nation, the people in our communities. We're not called to shrink back and watch the wickedness be promoted, paraded, pushed on the culture, pushed on the church, pushed on our children, pushed down our throats. No, we're called to stand for righteousness and be bold as lions, all for the glory of God. God, help us to do it. Be bold for Christ, unashamed. I'm not talking about walking around being arrogant and obnoxious. I'm not talking about walking around and barking at people and argumentative with people, trying to win some kind of debate with them. I'm not talking about assaulting people or bashing people. I'm just talking about God's people being bold for Christ, all for the glory of God. Being bold for the Bible, being bold for Christ, being bold for the church, being bold for the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, unashamed of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of righteousness, being bold in a world that is messed up and crazy. I'm talking about you and I having a boldness in our life to be able to tell people that are lost, that in this world around us, that Jesus loves them and he's a God of saving grace, that he can forgive them and their life can be transformed. That was me. That was you. A boldness declaring the transforming power of Jesus Christ. A boldness declaring who we are in Christ Jesus. You can walk around with a boldness declaring who you are in Christ, because he says that we are more than conquerors in Christ. If God is for us, who can be against us? I can walk in boldness and not worry and be afraid of what everything around me is doing and the people are doing. I can have a boldness for God because of who I am in Christ Jesus. Not being ashamed. Now you remember in Acts chapter 3 and 4, Peter and John, after they spoke Jesus over that lame man, the religious leaders of that day didn't like what they heard or saw, and they brought them in, they detained them. Peter and John, they detained them and began to question them, and they threatened them not to speak the name of Jesus in that society, in that culture. So what did they do? Did they cower? Did they cave? Did they conform? In Acts 4:29, we find out what they did. You know what they did? They said, we're not going to give up on meeting together, and we're going to go to church, and we're going to have a prayer service, and we're going to pray for some boldness. And so instead of cowering and conforming to the culture and to the demands of the culture, of what was being promoted and paraded, they went into a church service, they went into a prayer time, and they began to pray. And here's part of the prayer in 4:29 of Acts. Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. They didn't say, Lord, this is a messed up world. Get me on out of here. Lord, this is a messed up culture. Will you send fire down and just zap them all right now? Lord, take us out of this situation. They said, no, Lord, we're here. You planted us here. We're here for such a time as this, and we need great boldness to be able to speak your name. Yeah. And they prayed to speak with great boldness, and God gave it to them, because when they left out of there, they had a message. Jesus will save you if you turn to him. Jesus will deliver you if you will turn to him. Jesus will heal you if you turn to him. Jesus will restore you if you turn to him. And that's the same message that we declare today, friend. If you call on the name of Jesus, he will change your life. And we need to pray to speak Jesus with great boldness in this wicked world that we live in. As we see the day approaching, we need followers of Christ to be bold as lions, willing to open your mouth and not growl, probably like I sound like, but to share the good news, to speak the truth with great boldness. When the enemy is bold, the church needs to be bolder. When the culture is dark, we need to be light. And as we see the day approaching, this is not the time for the church to be silent. If you want to know my opinion, and you probably don't, I think that's part of the reason of why we are where we are today in our culture, because the church has refused to open its mouth and speak up.
Amen.
That's right. I mean, hey, there's nothing wrong with you standing on what God's word says. This is not a time for the church to retreat. We've retreated long enough. We retreat because we don't want to have to deal with confrontation, and we don't want to be labeled some certain way because we've stood up on what God's word says. Or this is no time for the church to live in fear with all the protests and stuff that's going on, all the stuff that's happening. We just want to stay comfortable in our little place, and we're okay coming in here and clapping and singing. But when we walk out there, we're afraid to even open our mouth. Listen, that time is over. As we see the day approaching, this is a time for the church to stand up and speak up with great boldness for Jesus Christ in the last day. Listen, Lord is preaching to me. He's talking to me. A boldness to speak out against sin and evil. A boldness to be Bible correct instead of politically correct. A boldness that will not cave, not conform, and not compromise to the wicked and evil agenda that we see being pushed and promoted in our culture. And I just want to stop right here and say, listen, if you got ears to hear and eyes to see, you know as well as I do, the stuff that's happening in this world, it is wrong. It is wrong. The abortion is wrong. The same-sex marriage is wrong. The confusion of the gender among all these kids, all that is wrong. I mean, it's wrong. I'm not. That's God's word. It is wrong. Well, I think I will. We need to have a boldness to declare that the Lord, that God, He is pro-life, He is pro-family, He is pro-marriage between a man and a woman. It was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. It was Adam and Eve. We need to have a boldness to declare that God is pro-Israel. Lord, have mercy. Grace and mercy. See, my prayer is that God, I'm telling you, and I know what some of you are thinking, this probably, you may not ever come back. But I've asked God to give me boldness. I want Him to continue to give me boldness. I want you to have, my prayer is, God, give this church boldness for you, for Christ. Friday was a special time on Fridays in the afternoons. I like to come here and pray for this service. And Friday, I was walking around in here praying. And how the Holy Spirit leads, it just depends on what that prayer looks like, sounds like. But on Friday, I was walking around, and I felt prompted to stop there by that back door and pray that, let that be that's the gate that everybody from this church comes in and out of. And I want to pray that everyone that comes in here on Sunday, they would receive boldness in their life for Christ. And they would get bold and they would stay bold. Get bold and stay bold. And I'd already been praying, and I leaned up against that steel pole right there at the corner. I leaned up against that pole, and I was just praying and praying over that door. People coming in. And God spoke to me right there. God spoke to me Friday, just as sure as I was leaning up against that pole. Wave, Angie. That pole right there beside Angie, and I was laying there, and God said, son, I'm putting a spine, a backbone in you like this steel pole right now, and it will not be, it will be unbendable, it will be unbreakable. And I said, Lord, thank you. And he says, I'm putting it in your backbone, and you're going to have the legs to stand too. So no matter what you have to face, no matter what you have to walk through, I'm making your legs where they're going to be unbreakable, unbendable. I'm giving you a boldness, and I'm going to give it to everybody that comes into this church. And I said, God, do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Do it. God, give a steel backbone, God, a backbone of boldness, God, for you, Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Do it, Lord. No more breaking, no more wavering, no more cowering, no more conforming, no more compromising, no more walking this way and walking that way in the world, in the church. No, God's putting a backbone in me. I'm going to stand. I'm going to be bold. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you the glory. I'm going to honor you with my life, Jesus. And I'm not going to do it just right here in this church. I'm going to do it when I'm walking into schools. I'm going to do it when I'm walking into community. I'm going to speak Jesus. I'm not going to be ashamed. God, hallelujah. Do it in this church, Lord. Do it in this church, God. Oh, I declare it over every one of these workers up here today. Hallelujah. Steel pole, backbone and legs. Hey, give us boldness to seek the lost and tell them to get saved, get sanctified, get ready, because Jesus is coming back. I mean, it don't get no more simpler than that right there. A boldness to share the gospel with anybody from anywhere, because everybody needs Jesus. A boldness to declare in love that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. A boldness to declare and proclaim there's no other name under heaven which you can be saved. I don't care. I mean, I saw a lady highlighted on TV this week that's made statement after time, that there's more than one way to get to heaven. That is a lie from hell. Jesus is the only way. He is the only way. Only name under heaven which you can be saved. A boldness to proclaim that one day he's coming back, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. A boldness to declare over the addict that God has the power to set them free. A boldness to declare over a couple that he can put their broken marriage back together. A boldness to declare over the gender confused that Jesus can break that stronghold off their life. A boldness to walk into an impossible situation and declare that with God all things are possible. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, that was the introduction. No, I'm almost there. Just bear with me. So how do we receive this great boldness? How do we receive it? Well, let's go back to the prayer meeting that was in Acts. I just read to you, because if you keep reading, we find out how they received the baptism or the boldness, and it's through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it says in Acts 4:31, when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all, say all, not just the preachers, but everybody in that prayer service was filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. The boldness comes from the Holy Spirit. We need the fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit in our life every day. We need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The Bible says you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And the Holy Spirit empowers you to have a courage, to have a boldness in your life. You'll be bold for Christ, knowing that the Holy Spirit is guiding you and guarding you and strengthening you and helping you. You'll have a boldness because you know the Holy Spirit anointing is on you. He's called you for such a place and time as this. And you'll walk in there knowing that God has prepared you for this. God has opened the door for you. You'll walk with boldness because the Holy Spirit will place people in your path that need Jesus. The Holy Spirit fills us with great boldness. And let me just say this, the early church was spirit-filled and they displayed boldness. And the church today, Mount Olive First PH Church, we need to be spirit-filled so we can display boldness in our life to this generation. Amen. We need the Holy Spirit to give us great boldness for the sake of reaching our families and our friends. We need the Holy Spirit to fill us for the sake of fighting for our children and our grandchildren. We need the Holy Spirit to fill us and give us boldness for the sake of this next generation. Let me just say this to you. My brother, my sister, if the church doesn't get some boldness and stay bold for Christ, we're going to see the church continue to die here. Many churches closing down around us. We know that the Lord is building his church and the gates of hell won't prevail, but there'll be some churches that are going to die along the way. Sadly, as we see the day approaching, if we don't get some boldness and stay bold, we're not going to see the revival that could take place right here in this county and the counties around us. If we don't have some bold men and women of God to stand up, the revival that we're believing for, the revival that will come, is going to come through bold men and bold women of God. And I'm so encouraged, because even this past week, I've seen this happening, and I'm believing for revival. This past week, in some conversations I had, earlier in the week, I met with a coach in one of our local schools who is bold for Jesus Christ. Listen to this. On Friday morning, early Friday morning, a group of pastors were invited to Wayne County to the school board up there with the superintendent. And he invited us there, a man of God who was bold, and he led a prayer out there along with all the preachers, along with his staff there at the school board. Listen, I'm telling you right now, he has a heart for the Lord. He is bold for Christ. We stood out there with our hands lifted up and prayed over all the schools of Wayne County. I'm thankful for a bold superintendent in Wayne County, a bold superintendent for the Lord in Duplin County with Dr. Abbasahan. I'm thankful for people in our school system, principals and teachers that are bold for Christ. Friday afternoon, I got on the phone and I was talking to the mayor of Mount Olive, Mayor Newton right here, who was a man that has taken some bold steps for the community around us. I'm just thankful. There's something going on around us right now, friend, and it's happening through people who are bold, bold in their faith. And I believe this is the greatest opportunity ever for the revival to take place, and it's only going to happen if the church will speak up, stand up and speak up with great boldness. It's going to start through bold followers of Christ. Don't you want to be bold for Christ? We have this door to open before us. Pastor Kevin, if you want to come, brother. We need boldness so we can be salt and light. We need boldness so God can use us. We need boldness so we can stand firm no matter the threats and the opposition that we're going to encounter. And friend, they're going to come. It's not time for the church to fold. It's time for the church to be bold. As we see today approaching, we need to be bold as a lion. And the Holy Spirit is the one that puts the boldness in us. A Holy Spirit boldness to our backbone. We need boldness to carry Christ to this hopeless world. Boldness to declare that Jesus loves people, all people, and he can forgive them of their sins. We need to share that message. A boldness to live a life pleasing unto God. A bold faith that will say, God can do it and God is able. A bold faith to say, you know what? God is working and God is moving. I'm telling you right now, you can get down in the dumps all you want to, and you can get discouraged all you want to, and you can get depressed all you want to. But what I've seen this morning standing in front of us, and the conversations that I've had this week with different individuals, and saw what I saw going on around that school board building in Wayne County, oh, hallelujah, God is working, God is moving, and I want to be right in the middle of it. Hallelujah. I want Mount Olive First PH Church to be full of men and women with a steel rod backbone and legs, that when the pressure starts to come and it gets darker in the culture, I'm not going to waver, I'm not going to move, I'm not going to conform, and I'm not going to compromise. I'm going to stand on the Word of God and what He's done in my life. And it's not going to be easy, and it's not going to be popular, but it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. God, give us boldness. Give us boldness. I want to invite all of you to stand with me, please. It's a boldness. Listen. I'm telling you right now, I could preach a series in a series. He said this right here. He says, I want to continue to be bold for Christ as I was in the past. And some of you used to be bold for the Lord in the past. But for whatever reason, you let your fire go out. I don't know how, I don't know why, but that's between you and the Lord. But he sent me here today to tell you, you know what? It's time to get the boldness back. It's time to get the boldness back. I'm not talking about being mean and all that kind of, I'm just talking about a bold walk with the Lord. Unashamed. Because I want my life to honor Christ. I want my life to honor Christ, whether I'm alive or whether I'm dead. That'd be something nice to have over the headstone. Jeff Dale was bold for the Lord. And my wife would say, he's crazy too. Don't you want boldness? I don't want to be bold for the Republicans, and I don't want to be bold for the Democrats, and I don't want to be bold for my opinions. I want to be bold for Jesus. Bold for Jesus. So here's what we're going to do. If you just sense, I know we can't get everybody around the altar, but if you feel like, man, I need some boldness in my life, and I need the Holy Spirit to fill me right now with fresh boldness, I want you just to step out and come. And the rest of you that don't, I'm going to pray with you. But come on, if that's you right now, I see people coming. I need some boldness. I need boldness for the Lord. I want to be bold for Christ. I want my life to honor Jesus. Come on, just find you a place around the altar. And the way you receive, the way I've ever received, is you always hold your hands out. So if you will, those of you around the altar and those that are in your chairs out there, would you just kind of hold your hands out like this right here? I mean, you want to receive the Holy Spirit filling so you can have a boldness in your life. And so, Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask you, God, we ask you to fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit right now. God, I pray, Lord, that would be the evidence, God, of speaking in tongues as you give the utterance. I pray right now in the name of Jesus, God, that you would fill us, fill every one of us right now. Lord, as they were in that prayer meeting praying, God, I pray you would consider the things going on around us, but would you please right now enable us to speak your word, to speak the truth with boldness, God, and God, let it be a great boldness for you, God, a boldness that will bring honor and glory to your name, a boldness, God, that will honor and glorify you, God. I want my life right now. I need your Holy Spirit to fill me. I'm tired of walking around feeling like a coward. I'm tired of walking around feeling like I can't speak up. God, I pray right now, I receive that backbone, that steel pole backbone right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray right now, God, just to fill us with it, God, right into our legs. Help us to be unbreakable, unbendable, God. I pray it over this church right now, a fresh boldness in their life, God, a fresh boldness in their life. And God, I pray, God, that we would keep it. We would stay bold as it gets darker and things get bad. Help us to stay bold, God. Help us to stay bold for you, God. Lord, I pray it right now. Holy Spirit, I pray, fill every one of us, fill me, fill everyone that has their hands laid out for you right now, Lord. We ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, you're the baptizer. We pray it over every single person here right now. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Help me, Lord. Help me to be a bold man of God. Help me, Lord, to be a bold woman of God. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Keep praying, church. Keep praying. Keep praying. Just ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. To fill you. Come on.